trust you that if I give, you're going to take the rest of what I have left over and help me to cover everything I need and also be a blessing to whatever else that you would have me to do. And so worship is an act of faith. I'm sorry, giving is an act of worship. It's an act of faith. It's an act of faithfulness. And God would love to do amazing things on the earth, and he's going to do amazing things on the earth. The question is, are you going to be a part of it? And giving can directly connect your life with the kingdom of God and what he's doing on the earth. And we can't do what we do without you giving, so thank you, everybody, who is a faithful giver to Life Source and to what God's doing here. I will say we have this last month, the Holy Spirit has just been awesome, and he's going to continue to take things away. But we've missed two offerings the last month because of just the Lord, just the way his presence was moving, and the way that, gosh, it's just awesome. How many of you guys have been appreciate what God's been doing in the last month? It's been so refreshing and so good. At the last minute, said, "Hey, if we got an offering, we'll put some, ushers up the back." And anyway, we just want to let you know, if you have missed your giving, that's the reason why, is that we just let the Holy Spirit move and didn't get to the offering part of the service. But if you wanted to give this week, we'd just make that opportunity available. There's a couple ways to give. An envelope, there's envelopes in the back of the chairs. You can fill out lifesourcebillings.org. You can always go there and give online, or you can text to give. You text your dollar amount to 84321, and then you'll get a text back, and you can set up giving that way if you want to. Or you can scan that QR code up on the screen or on your bulletin, and that'll take you to lifesourcebillings.org, and you can give that way too. So lots of different ways to give. So let's just bless the Lord with our gift this morning, and we'll receive that as unto the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your life, for your presence. God, thank you for what you're doing in this church, and really what you're doing all around the country and the world. God, we celebrate, God, your move and your power and your presence and your radical transformation that you're doing in the hearts and lives of people. God, thank you. From young to old to everyone in between, God, thank you that you are on the move in Billings, in Montana, in our nation, God, and around the world. We bless you. God, take this gift, and we pray that it will go towards the furtherance of your gospel, God, your kingdom, and that to lives will be transformed and changed. God, help us to be good stewards. Help us to be true worshipers, God, that are not just in word, but also in deed. And we bless you, Lord. Thank you that you'll meet every need that we have, God. You said to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And all these things will be added to us when we put you first. So, God, we just trust you in that, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're passing these bags. Even if you're not giving this morning, just help us pass these bags down the row. That'd be much appreciated. Let me put this in there. And that'd be great. All right. We are dismissing kids, correct? Yes. Yeah. Well, we're going to dismiss the kids. With that being said, kids, we love you. And give it up for our kids and those who teach our kids as they go. And without any further ado, I'm just going to welcome up my wife, Pastor Rosebud. She's going to bring the word this morning.
Amen. Hey, I'm on. Woo. The kids were, I'm sure, so excited after missing last week. They are excited they get to go. See, it's always, now they're so appreciative because they missed a week. It's like, oh, we have kids ministry. I bet all your kids will come back today and be like, it was amazing, because they were more grateful today because they missed it last week. I'm just going to start by praying and because the Lord has been moving in such a different way, it's required a heightened level of listening. And so if my delivery is slow today, know that it is simply because I'm listening. And I really don't want to move out of what God is doing here. I've talked to multiple ministers over the course of this week, and even, you know, if you guys are familiar with some of the things going on around the country, there is like pockets of fire all over the place.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's beautiful about God is he, there's this unity in the spirit when you're moving in the spirit, right? Because he's doing one thing. And yet he is moving all throughout the world. And so you know that it's the Lord moving when you see him doing the same thing in a lot of different ways, in a lot of different places, with people that aren't even necessarily connected outside of the fact that they love Jesus. And so I think there's a lot of really cool stuff that the Lord is doing right now on a global level. And so we get to be a little piece of that here in Billings, Montana. So we want to honor that and make sure that that the Holy Spirit is the preeminent one. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We choose to turn our eyes to you. And God, we choose to put a draw on your spirit right now. We lay down our agenda. We lay down our expectation. And we pray, God, that you would speak to us. And we say thank you, God, that you are going to. In Jesus' name, amen. So, last month, Abe and I went on a marriage intensive, is what it was called. And Abe shared a little bit on his end that it was indeed intense-ive. And we really, this year, the Lord gave us the word strengthen. And we understand and recognize the importance of marriage in that process. That if marriages are strong, families are strong. And if families are strong, communities are strong. And so there's this ripple effect when you strengthen the core of something that then ripples out into all facets of the community. And so, and that's not the only area, but it is absolutely one of the areas that we saw God wanting to bring strength. And so we felt like, what better way than to invest into our marriage and allow for the Lord to strengthen our marriage. And so that was our heart when we went. And it was really, really good, and it was that. But it was also a slap in the face for me in a couple different ways, because sometimes the Lord will speak to us in ways that we don't necessarily want to hear, or that we're not necessarily ready in and of ourselves. And so we go, it was 5 days, and the first day, we get there, and well, the first day we got there, we didn't do anything. We just kind of had dinner with them, and then we started the next day. So day one of the marriage intensive, first of all, the Lord started sharing little things. So the first thing we did was each of us had to get a word from the Lord for each other. And the word that the Lord gave to Abe was, she's mine. She's mine. Remember that? The first day. I'm like, okay, I know that. But, and he said even, it was almost like possessive the way I heard it. Like, she's mine, you know. And so I'm like, cool, cool, you know. Well, then that day, we had some things that happened that caused me to get very defensive. So day one, here I am coming into this, and I'm like, all right, Lord, whatever you want, you know, your will be done. And then all of a sudden, I'm like on the fight, you know? And I think When the Lord is moving, he will always start it by saying, "You're okay. I have you. But there are things that I need to remove from your identity. So you're okay." And that's kind of what he was saying to me, like, you're mine. I got you. But there's some other things that I need to expose. And so he began that process right away. And so then here I am getting defensive. And, you know, have any of you ever felt, maybe it's just me, but have you ever felt disqualified because of who you are? Not just because of what you do. You know, there's a level of that. And I think we all struggle with that. You know, there's been things that we've done in our past that we feel maybe we're disqualified in certain areas. But what I discovered was there were still things that I had felt were disqualifying me because of who I am. Not just because of what I've done, but because of who I am. And the Lord really needed to expose that. So he started exposing that. And the beautiful thing, though, was he just kept saying, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I trust you. I don't trust everybody else." And he's like, "Do you trust me?" So day two, I'm spending time with the Lord in the morning before breakfast. And I get up. I'm getting up. I think I was sitting on the ground. And I'm getting up, and the Lord allows me to see into the Spirit for a moment. And I see myself standing by a creek. And I'm getting up, and I have this. I've shared some of this with the youth. And some of you probably have already shared some of this with. But I'm getting up, and I have this vast armor. And it's, like, huge. And I'm picking it up, and I'm putting it on like this. And the armor is, like, all-encompassing. It's literally like this, where it, like, comes together in the front and totally covers me. And so I'm getting up, and I'm picking up this armor, and I'm putting it on like this. And I look in front of me, and Jesus is standing in front of me. And he says to me, "You don't need that here." And here, I'm like, I'm ready to fight today. You know, I'm putting my armor on, and I see him. And I had a decision to make. Either I'm going to let him be my protector, or I'm going to keep fighting for myself. And so I laid it down. And at our first session, I said, "I'm sorry. That's not what I'm here for. I don't want to fight. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow." And I laid down all my defenses for the rest of the week. And the Lord did amazing things in me. Right after that, again, we had this connect time where we had to get a word for each other. How does God see you? How does God see your spouse, I think is what it was. And again, Abe, God is just speaking to Abe, speaking to me through Abe, but Abe goes, he's showing me this picture, and it's a woman, like, in a river washing clothes. And I'm like, "Of course it is." I hate washing clothes. And so I'm immediately like, "This is the worst. God, you couldn't have picked a better analogy." And he's like, "No, I see this woman, and she's taking great care to wash this linen." I'm looking at him to make sure I'm getting it correct. And And he just says, you know, I'm looking, and he didn't know that what I had seen, what the Lord had showed me earlier. He didn't know that necessarily. But he's saying, I see this woman and she's taking great care to wash this garment. And then he said, and the woman is God. And I immediately knew what the Lord was saying. The Lord was saying to me, I will wash out anything that's not who you are. I would take great care. I would take great care to wash everything out. That's not what I'm speaking to you. It's not who you are. It's dirt. It's not that the original color of the linen, I'll wash it out. And so again, he was saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? So then the dilemma I have had since I've been home, because what the Lord spoke to me, and here's the thing, when the Lord speaks to you, it doesn't always make sense. You know, like it's not always like he gives you the full picture. He just gives you what's in front of you. And so what I knew in that moment was I didn't need my armor there. But what I don't know, what I didn't know is, do I need it now? You know, where do I need to protect? And where do I need to step away from that and allow for God to protect me. So we got home, and it's been this struggle for me because it's not just over, you know, we continue in this battle, and I feel like there has been kind of like an upcharge of battles lately, like the enemy has been doing some overtime in some of our lives. Can I get an amen? Okay. So there has been this sort of like influx of the enemy trying to come against us and stop something that he sees on the horizon. So before we see it sometimes, he can see it, and he will plan an attack to try to keep us from getting where God wants us to go. So we get home, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what does this look like coming home? I looked into some of it, and they actually say if you're in self-protection mode, you actually cannot connect there. And so then, okay, that makes sense, because I go to this marriage intensive to connect. And then here I am self-protecting. So I'm like, okay, that makes sense. But still, okay, where does that protection come into play? Do I need that? Don't I need it? And the thing that the Lord spoke to me was actually just a couple days ago, because I was asking him this question. I was saying, protection or connection? Like, I know that your heart and your desire is connection. And I feel like in the place where I'm connected to the Lord, there's no hindrance there. But there's other places that we need connection, right? We need connection with each other in the body. And so where is that, like, there's just complete vulnerability in that place. Where is there places that I need protection, you know, this? And the Lord said, oh, you're so close. He said, you're so close, you're just missing an F. And I was like, okay. He said, it's not protection or connection, it's protection for connection. Yeah. So what he began to reveal to me was the protection that you have, it's not bad, but it's not for you. See, he is my protector. And there's nothing anybody else can do to change who he has made me to be, because my life is in his hands. So nobody can take that out of his hands and change it and twist it or keep me out of what he has for me because my life is completely surrendered in his hands. Protection for connection. See, we need, first of all, our first connection is with the Lord. I love today that we were talking and we did communion. In fact, this morning I woke up and the Lord was speaking to me about communion. Because ultimately, this is what it boils down to. Connection in our life is what we were created for. We were created for communion with the Lord. We were created for communion with each other. We were created to live in a place where we are connected to each other. That's why we're called the body of Christ. This body is meant to be connected where life is flowing in us and through us and to us and from us. That's how God intended for us. And then that's why the Bible says they will know you are Christians by your love. Because as we're connected and that connection is identified by the love that we share, in that place, it becomes a light to the world. And the world says, I want that kind of love. I want that kind of relationship. I want that kind of community. But I think a lot of us have armor on that we're using to protect ourselves. Because we've been hurt too much by people. Do we trust God? But do we trust people? And the scripture came to me as I was meditating and praying on this because I felt like the Lord was saying, there's an invitation still on the table. And the invitation is to surrender. To surrender up. Not like get on your face and weep and cry and feel sorry for all the sin. But a surrender into his presence and whatever he wants to strip away. Whatever he wants to wash away. We're willing to let him do that. 2 Corinthians 3, I'm going to start in verse 16, says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So he's talking about the old covenant. In the old covenant, Moses, remember when Moses goes up the mount and he comes down and his face is shining. And so he puts a veil over his face to cover the glory that's coming out of him. And so the Bible just above this says, if there was a glory associated with the old covenant that is less than the new covenant, how much more glory do we have in the new covenant? And so then in verse 16 it says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This morning the Lord spoke to me. Communion is a place where we are face to face, fully seen, fully known, fully loved. And then he said, the table is prepared for you. Will you come? See, he has everything that we need. He is everything that we need. But there's a little thing in this scripture that's really important. It says, but we all, with unveiled faces. See, if we want to be transformed, we have to be willing to be vulnerable. That's what the Lord was speaking to me in taking off my armor. Because when I put the armor on, I could not be known. It's a self-protection. When you put armor on, you are protecting yourself and you are keeping yourself from being known. But what is the exact thing that we want to be? We want to be known. But when we are protecting ourselves, we are hindering ourselves from being known. We are hindering ourselves from growing. Because everybody knows armor doesn't grow. So in that place, what was happening, even though my heart was to grow, my heart was to change, my heart was that I wanted new tools, I wanted something, like I wanted God to, there was areas that I knew he needed to work on and I wanted him to do that. But then the moment that some animosity or some opposition came my way, I was ready to protect myself. And what the Lord has been revealing to me was I'm protecting the wrong thing. What I need to be protecting is the connection. So first that was with God, because what I recognize is my default in the past has been to take my trust from God in those moments. When I feel personally attacked, when I feel like my identity, like I'm being disqualified from what I know God has placed in my heart, when I'm in that place, I tend to then take my trust from God and say, I'm not going to trust you, I'm going to trust me. That's why the Lord kept saying to me, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Because when I self-protect, when I put on the armor, I am essentially saying, God, I got this. I can take care of myself. I'll figure this out. Thank you, but no thank you. I'm on my own. And I always fail in that place. It's so funny. It's like, why do I think that I by myself could defeat the devil who's been around for thousands of years doing this to humans for thousands of years? You know? Why would I think that this little armor that I put on would keep me safe? With unveiled faces, we behold the glory of the Lord. When we turn, the only thing that this scripture says we do is we turn to the Lord. In verse 16 it says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. What I had to do that those 5 days is I had to consistently turn to the Lord. I had to consistently continue to say, no, I'm gonna put my eyes on Jesus right now. What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus? We would have conversations and I would say, this is what the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. This is what I feel like he's saying to me. And that's what I had to continue fixing my eyes on. But as I did, he removed the veil. He allowed for me to be vulnerable because in his presence, I'm safe. That's why Psalms 23:5 is so important. He says he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He has everything that we need for us if we would sit at his table. He doesn't ask us to do something and then not equip us to be able to do it. So if we want to see real transformation in our lives, we have to choose vulnerability. We have to choose to be honest and real. We have to choose to say, you know what? This has been a struggle. I need prayer. I need help. This is an area that I've been hurt. I need help. And this is like, I'm talking about going to the table with God. I'm not talking about going to your friend you've known all of your life that is stuck in the same addiction or stuck in the same issues and saying to them, I've got this problem, and they're like, me too, you know? That's not gonna bring any transformation. What brings transformation is when you sit in the presence of God and you behold his face and you're vulnerable in that place and you say, this is me. This is where I'm at. This is what's going on with me. And then you allow for him to take your life like a woman with a garment and gently wash out all the things that have been placed there that are not you. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. I felt like this season has been a season of invitation. A season of invitation to say, one, we're going to trust God. We're not going to take our trust out of him when things get tough. We're not going to choose to try to do it our way when we feel like he's not doing it the way we want him to do it. We're going to choose to trust him over and over again. And then two, we're going to choose to protect connection, not protect ourselves. Put our lives in his hands. Let him be our protector. And then protect the connections that he has entrusted to us. Not just with him, but with the people around us. I love this definition of communion. Communion is the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, especially when the exchange is on a mental or a spiritual level. I think God's inviting us into a place of communion with him. And it's from that place that everything else flows. See, none of us are stuck. I'm not stuck being who I am today. And I thank God that in 5 years I will not be the same person. Because I'm going from glory to glory. That's what the Bible says. Verse 18 says, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. I am not stuck being the same Rosebud I am today, tomorrow. You are not stuck being the same person you are today, tomorrow. Hopefully, and the heart behind this is that we would continue to transform day by day into the image of Jesus. That every day we would look more and more like Jesus, that our hearts would desire that and want that above everything else, above self-protection. We would choose to lay those things down, and we choose to say, okay, God, what do you have for me? There were moments where I had to say, okay, I know what you have spoken over me. I know what you have said to me, but I also don't want to make those things an idol either. And so I'm choosing to lay those things down and say, okay, those don't belong to me. Like, I don't belong to you. My future, I don't belong to me. My future doesn't belong to me. All these things that I feel so, like, holding so tightly to, at the end of the day, these things do not belong to me. They belong to you. So choosing moving forward, because I feel like there's a season of invitation right now. And then there will be there will be a grace that's lifted off of certain areas of our life. We won't be able to operate in the same level of brokenness that we did prior to this season. It just won't, it won't work. There's a standard being raised, and I don't mean that in like a, like any of us, he's inviting us all into this. It's not something that we're working hard to achieve. It's that the Lord is saying, I am moving, I'm doing this, and you're invited to come along with. But where you are right now, it's okay for now, but if you stay there, I'm not gonna be in that for much longer. So you can choose to move with me, or it might get really hard where you're at. And at any moment, you can say, oh, I don't want to stay here. I'm going. It's not like you're stuck there forever. The other day, do you guys remember that song, You've Been Left Behind? That DC Talk, is like so sad. Yeah, I was reminded of it the other day, and I'm like, man, that is a sad song. You'll be left behind. That's not what I'm saying. It sounded like a great place to enter, like, fear of God, you know? But it's not. Like, at any point, you can say yes to God. It's never too late. As long as there is life in your lungs, it's never too late to say yes to God. And here's what I have to do. I have to backtrack and say, I did feel there have been moments in my life when I have been disqualified, when I have felt disqualified. The reality of that is I am a woman in ministry. That is probably one of the biggest areas I have felt disqualified in my life. I'm a native. All kinds of stereotypes that could be associated with that, that I could take on as my identity if I so chose. I'm married. There are things about marriage that can disqualify or make you feel disqualified in certain areas. And I'm married to a man of God who is called. So in that, I could very easily back away from my calling and say he's called. There's a lot of ways that I could choose to say I am not qualified. And you know what? For seasons, it would be easier. Because it would be easier to just let Abe do it. It would be easier to just say, you know what? I'm not qualified. I'm just going to back away from that. Maybe God is inviting you into something greater, and you are in yourself. You're saying, you know, I don't really feel qualified for that. I think I'll just let someone else do that that's more qualified. What I have found in the seasons when I have done that is they are some of the most miserable seasons I have ever had. Because when you don't do what God has placed in your heart to do, you will ache and you will hunger and you will thirst and it will not be satisfied. Because the only place that your soul is satisfied is in the center of Him. And if you don't find yourself in that place, you will always find yourself looking and longing for something else. You will be trying to stuff yourself with things that temporarily satisfy, but in the end, they make you feel even more empty. So, church, it might seem like a hard thing to say yes to the call, yes to the invitation to surrender up, to say yes to His presence, and yes to cultivating and protecting your connection with Him above all else. That might seem difficult, but let me tell you something. Saying no to that is going to be way, way more difficult in the long run. Yeah, I don't want to be on my deathbed and thinking, I wish I would have. Right. Life is too short. Yeah. Life is too short for that. It's time to say yes. Yeah. It's time to say yes to who he is and his impact in our life and what he wants to do in us and through us. Because if we don't say yes to him, the enemy has a lot of plans for us too. Stephanie, can you come up? This word, just this invitation, continually has been coming up in my mind. An invitation into, it's not that we have to say yes. We could stay comfortable. I love my son. The last couple weeks he's been saying, I'm getting out of my comfort zone. It's been really, really good. As a 14-year-old, he knows that that's healthy. And I appreciate that. I think sometimes when we get older, we could get even harder to move. There's an invitation on the table. There's a place at the table. God is inviting us into a deeper surrender. He's inviting us into communion. Not just friendship, but communion. There's been seasons when the Lord has said to me, when I came to Christ, I served. I was the best slave anybody could ask for. If he said jump, I said how high. I didn't care what it was. I was going to do whatever he told me to do. But there came a moment when he said, I don't call you a servant. I call you a son. Sonship has to do with position, not gender, to God. And it was that moment that was impactful for me. And then he taught me that he was my father. And I understood him as my father in this season. It took probably a year and a half or 2 years of me learning to see him not just as my master, but as my father. And then he said, I don't just call you my child. I call you my friend. That's his desire for all of us. It's not that you just come and you serve and you serve and you serve. It's that you come and you sit. It's that you come to the table and you share your dreams and your thoughts and your ideas. And he wants to hear it. And he's like, yeah? Yeah, tell me about it. What do you think about this? And you commune with him. Because you're not just a child. You're a friend. He's calling us up. We're not just a slave. We're not just a child. We're a friend. We're his friend. So, church, I want to do something here this morning. I want you to stand up. And I want you to choose. If you want to say yes to this surrender, I hesitate to call it surrender. It is absolutely 100% surrender. But I don't want us to see it like a surrender where we're going into slavery. Does that make sense? I think that's why the Lord had me share that. He really wants us to surrender to deeper relationship, to deeper communion. To a place where we know him and he knows us, where we are fully known, and that place requires vulnerability. It requires that we are honest with him and we take the armor off in his presence. If you feel him calling you, maybe he's already been calling you to that. But if you feel that in your spirit, he's saying, I want more. I want more of you and I want more for you. Then I want you to come to the front. And I want our ministry team to come. Yeah, make space. And I just want you guys to, in your hearts, make a commitment to the Lord. I want everything that you want for me. I want everything that you want for me. And our ministry team, I'd like for us to lay hands on every person in here. So if we can do that during the song, I would love that. And church, just let this be a time between you and the Lord. Allow for him to minister to you. Allow for him to speak to you. And say yes to him.
Day and night, night and day, let
Jesus. He is worthy. He is worthy. You are worthy, Jesus. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus. We choose to turn to you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. Are those who have felt disqualified, either by what you have done or simply by who you are. There have been lies that have been brought, that have been taught. And right now the Lord wants to break those lies off. Jesus' blood was not partial. He did not choose to give to some and not to others. Jesus qualifies us. It is not what we've done or who we are that qualifies us. It is the precious blood that was shed on Calvary 2,000 years ago that qualifies us. And nothing, nothing can undo what he has done. So if you feel right now like there have been things that you have held to, that you have said, I am not qualified, the Lord is asking you to lay those things down. Whether that is something you have done or maybe a doctrine that you have believed, the Lord is asking you to give him that as an offering, to lay it down before him and ask him what he would give you in return for that. So right now, as an act of obedience, I want you guys to just say, if that is you and you have said, I feel disqualified, but I'm going to choose to lay that down. It's almost like a resume that the enemy has brought to you. You're disqualified because of this, because of that, because of this. And I want you to see yourself holding that, all of the accusations of the enemy, and I want you to lay them down at the feet of Jesus. And I want you to look into Jesus' eyes, and I want you to ask him how he sees you. So right now, Father, we choose. We choose, God, if there's any areas that we have felt disqualified, if there are any things that we have felt like we are limited, and those things have not been placed on us by you, we pray, Father, that you would take these offerings. God, we lay them at your feet. We lay them at your feet. We lay them at your feet, Jesus. And we say, Jesus, what do you have for us in place? What do you say, Jesus? We know what they have said. God, we know what the enemy has said. We know what our parents said. We know what our siblings said. We know what the teachers said. We know what the doctor said. We know, but God, will we put your word as the supreme in our life? Will we say it doesn't matter what they said, it only matters what Jesus said. It only matters what Jesus said. It only matters what Jesus speaks over us. That we choose to hold to when the enemy comes at us like a flood. It's your word that we will say, no, this is what God says. This is what God says. Hmm. people laying down anger. It's been spoken over you all your life. You're just an angry person. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God didn't make you an angry person. Lay that down at his feet. I see people laying down the things that the doctor has spoken over you. The diagnosis that the doctor has given you. I see you laying that down. Down. God, show us what we need to lay down at your feet. Thank you.
just thank you. What you have done in here is done. What you have started, you will complete. The seeds that you have planted, they will come to fruition. They will blossom, and you will get a harvest. So God, thank you for the work you've done in this place this morning. We give you glory. We give you honor. God, thank you. We love you. God, thank you for calling us your friends. We're your friends, God. And we bless you. We bless you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you. Praise him. Shake hands, love one another, have a wonderful rest of your weekend. Bless the Lord, and we'll see you back next week to celebrate God's goodness. Amen.